Geula. And we could certainly use that. Yeah. The first page. That's the second page. The second page. The first page. Okay. Hasidra Hazu, let me tell you some of Labela. Probably do for another 2-3 weeks, I think, and then again, the point of these shirim is to touch upon, to get a little bit of taste of the world of that tzaddik. It's impossible to really do more than just taste. So I think the next tzaddik we're going to be talking about is the Yid HaKadosh, the Holy Jew of Pshischa. But I think I'd like to do another 2-3 weeks, at least after Tu B'Shvat, a little bit more of Reb Leibel. I have a tremendous feeling of a kesher to Reb Leibel's Torahs, and I want to continue a little more. Hasidra Hazu, B'Sherish HaGeulah. We know Reb Leibel says this parasha, Parashas Bo, this is the parasha that's the Sherish of Geulah. This is it. This is when it happens. This is when Bnei Yisrael leave. Until now, we've been talking about it. There've been promises and makas. The things have gotten started, but actual redemption is Parashas Bo. Therefore, it's the sharish of all redemption, of any person's redemption, of the Jewish people's redemption. Ubavadek she Yisrael karem hasedra hazos shekosuba biragulas mitzrayim b'shleimus. And certainly, when the Jewish people read this parasha, which contains in it the root of redemption, bavadek this arab is as sharish gulas Yisrael. We have to think about this Shabbos, that when we read this parasha, it awakens that koach of redemption. Something's happening. It's a very, very powerful time of redemption. We know that there's a rule in all of Chazal. And what? That if you learn the Torah, if you learn the subject of korbanos, of the sacrifices, and Chazal say it's ki'il hikrev chatas. It's as if you actually brought the sacrifice. That's not only when it comes to that. So the Rebbe is explaining that this ki'ilu, this as if, it applies to redemption as well. In other words, when we read the parasha of redemption, especially at this time, any time you read the parasha of redemption, or psukim of Geula, but particularly this Shabbos is as if, on some level, it's as if something is happening. So the Rebbe is saying, as far as this Gemara is concerned, the Gemara says that if you study the subject of carbon, it's as if you brought a carbon. So he says, why is bringing a carbon greater than studying the carbon? Why is it only as if? The same way that bringing a sacrifice is a mitzvah from Hashem, studying Torah is also a mitzvah from Hashem. So why is it that studying Torah is a ki'il? That when I study Torah, it's as if. In other words, studying Torah is itself a mitzvah. Why do we have to make this comparison? So the Rebbe is saying, therefore, what it must mean, on a deeper level, It's not a question of what's greater. Certainly studying Torah is the greatest of all mitzvahs, perhaps. That's not the point. So why do I have to say it's as if I wrote a carbon? Studying Torah is in itself a great mitzvah. So why is it saying this? So the Rebbe is saying to tell you that it's not a question of comparing. It's cause and effect. That when I study carbonus, I'm bringing about an Isarus of the Lasat, an awakening that causes, on some level, that brings nearer to us the actual sacrificing of korbanos, the Beis HaMikdash. It's not that it's what's better. Ki'ilu. Ach, you mean tell me ki'ilu? They're two different mitzvahs. Now the teretz is that Chazal are revealing to us this great secret, that when you study the Torah of something, when you're studying that Torah, then you're awakening that kalach in the world. That's what he says. I suppose l'satam, inyina karban, ki inyina karban hu is arvus milamala, aydeh is arvus ha-mainuk vinti l'satam, that when you are studying the subject of the carbon, then you are bringing about this arousal from below that's called mayim nukvin, or feminine waters. The lasata mitzat pulas adam. In other words, you're doing something to awaken that koach of carbonus. We can't bring sacrifices without Hashem bringing us the Beis HaMikdash. We can't. So when we study the Torah of sacrifices, we are doing what we can to, on some level, awaken that desire, kivyachol of Hashem, to give us the physical opportunity to offer sacrifices. And that is the mystery of the smell of the sacrifice being a great, pleasurable, fragrant odor to Hashem. That means that all of our avodah here in this world, whenever we serve Hashem, it is a reach nichoach. It is the same way that when you smell something that's delicious, then you want to taste that. It awakens within the person an appetite. So kivyachol, when we study the sacrifices, then it awakens an appetite within Hashem to send into our lives this koach of karbonis. And it's like that with everything. So when we study and we read the parasha of redemption, it's a reach nichoach, it awakens an appetite in Hashem to redeem us. And this is according to the Ramban. This is the deeper meaning of when you learn this Torah, it's as if you're sacrificing. Just like when there was a Beis HaMikdash, when there was a Beis HaMikdash, then we were able to physically bring sacrifices. And when we brought the sacrifices, every time when a Jew brought a carbon, it was able to bring kivyachol Hashem to a state, again, so to speak, of great ratzon, of great ratzon, of great love. So now, whenever we learn the subject of the karbanos, kain gam ato, kishoisek kol yochid, the parshas ha-karbon, when any individual Jew sits and he learns these parshas of karbanos, ma'ayra la'elas ha-mayinduchim ki'ilu hikriv ha-karbon mamish, you are able to awaken above that same kind of koach, that same kind of love, as if we were bringing a sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash. So he says, "Ukamol chayim v'inyan zes." The same thing over here. And the kol shekainu, even more so. K'shekol Yisrael oiskim meparasha achas. Why is it more so? Because this coming Shabbos, it's not just that there's an individual person that's sitting and studying and learning Torah somewhere. All the Jewish people, I mean, working out the time zones, but Klal Yisrael, this Shabbos is reading parashas bo. The Jewish people as a whole are reading about our redemption from Egypt. So he says that since Shabbakal Yisrael Oiskim Parash Achav, this man echad, at one time, Bivada Yisar La Elohim, certainly it awakens above this Indian of what? Of redemption of Geula from Mitzrayim. And this Shabbos has the ability, even though it might not, God forbid, bring to the redemption of the Jewish people that we're waiting for, but the Rebbe of Leibel is saying is that you should believe that when you focus on this parasha and you join in the reading of this parasha and you attach yourself to Parashas Bo, that it will bring you on some level, it will bring you Yeshua, so it will bring you Geula. All of the plagues, the makis of Mitzrayim, the ultimate purpose of the makis of the plagues was to teach the Jewish people something, to strengthen something within the Jewish people. That's what Chazal saying, the Rebbe brings here. He says, Ki bevadai mitzad Mitzrayim l'ha yitzrichim l'es ha-makis. As far as undoing Egypt, it was not necessary to have 10 makis. You didn't need 10 makis to destroy the Egyptians. It wasn't necessary. Rak nege echad lahavi al parvel kol Mitzrayim. Hashem could have given one patch. Hashem could have given one makis, finished, it would have been done. We would have left. So obviously, the makis was not practically, the 10 makis were not practically required in order for the Jewish people to leave Mitzrayim. The Baruch Shalom could have redeemed us with the Rosh Hashanah could have redeemed us with one makkah, and it was not necessary to do all of this. So, so it wasn't necessary. So gevad mit sam mit zweimal hayt zwichim la sam makis rak nagach la hob yal parva kom mit zweimal breg ach und yen yu nikhadem min haaretz. And in one moment the Egyptians would have been destroyed. The Egyptians would have been driven from the land. Vulam bavrazois hayah sam makis. So why did Hashem have the two pages here?
Yeah, one online and one ten.
So why did Hashem do this? Wulam Bavazai Soyhasamakis Ubitrila, this Khazik Lev Paro Meatsmo, this whole unbelievable process that took place. That first there's a makkah, there's a plague, and then Paro gets nervous and he's going to let the Jewish people go. And then all of a sudden there's Achbadis Halei, this heart is hardened, and he's not going to let us go. So he says this entire process, Reb Leibler writes, he says that's what he's explaining. That free choice was taken from him. That Hashem wanted to pour the 10 makis upon Paro. In other words, each, as far as Mitzrayim, as far as getting rid of Egypt is concerned, it wasn't necessary to have 10 makis. But we know that each makis was a different stage. That's why the number 10 is particularly significant, which corresponds, as the Ari HaKadosh and all the Svarim point out, that the 10 makis, the 10 plagues correspond to the 10 spheres, the 10 levels of Kedusha in Hashem's relationship with this world. It corresponds to the 10 utterances of creation. It corresponds to the 10 Dibros, the 10 commandments. the focal point here is not the destruction of Egypt. That there's each stage along the way, there's a certain level of darkness, there's a certain tumah that is being broken, that is being shattered, in order to allow there to be the manifestation of that next level of light. The Jewish people, the same way with creation. So Chazal say that Hashem could have created the world with one utterance. Why did Hashem create with 10 utterances? So we understand, as Chazal and the Svarim explain, that in order that there should be a world of free choice, and there should be a world of reward and punishment, it was necessary for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light to be revealed step by step. For instance, there's a teaching from the Lubavitcher Rebbe that he discusses the first makkah. He discusses the makkah of dam, of blood. And the Rebbe says this must be significant since it's the first makkah. Obviously, since it's the first plague, it somehow is introducing to the Jewish people a general way of returning to Hashem. It's the introduction to all the 10 plagues. It must be the beginning. So the Rebbe says that a very remarkable thing. What was the tumah, he said? What was the tumah? What was the impurity that the makkah, the plague of blood, was coming to crack, was coming to remove? So he says that the nature, as the Rambam says in Mishnah Torah, the nature of water is, the essence of water is its coldness, its coolness, its kriyus. The Rambam says this in many places. That's the essence of water. Its quality is coolness. And he says that the quality of dam, he brings to many places, just the opposite. The blood indicates warmth and passion and heat. So the Rebbe says that the beginning of all tumah is coldness. And the beginning of returning to God is changing, is transforming the blood into the water into blood. Is transforming that which is cold into that which is warm and passionate. In other words, he says that it's before a Jew, God forbid, falls into aveiros, chas v'shalom, actual aveiros, actual sins. That's tzaraday akinim. Before a person actually does things that are wrong, the beginning of one's downfall is a feeling of being distant and cold. Same thing in relationship between people. They might not start abusing each other. They might not start hurting each other. There's a feeling of distance and of coldness. And therefore, he says, the makkah, the first makkah means changing, in kedusha, in holiness, means how do I change the coldness within me, the water within me, into that warmth of the dam of the blood, in kedusha, in holiness. And so it is with each makkah. There's a makkah to the Egyptians that they're being beaten, they're being hurt, and in doing so, there's something in kedusha, in holiness, that is being made available, that's opening up. So with the makkah of dam, that kind of warmth, that kind of a fervor became something which was available to us when the water was changed into blood. So Hashem could have destroyed the Egyptians with one Makkah, but that's not the point. The point is that the Jewish people need to be delicately and slowly lifted from their impurity. So he explains, Hashem mikol Makkah Makkah nimshech b'chinas ha-Makkah azayis Yeshuli Yisrael, that from each and every one of the ten Makkahs, from each and every one of the ten Makkahs, there came a Yeshua, a salvation, a redemption to the Jewish people. Chazal say this in the Gemara in the Zohar, Nogoy v'rapo, that it was a plague for the Egyptians, but it brought refuah, it brought health, and it brought a cure to the Jewish people. Nogoy from Mitzrayim v'rapo Yisrael, refuah Yisrael hayah behechrech. In other words, the Jewish people needed a refuah. At that time, we had to have a refuah. Remember that we were embedded in the 49 levels of impurity, and we needed the refuah. So the Rebbe writes, so he says, refuah yisol hay behechrich as determined as barish shleimus kedushasam, sheyia behadroga. Therefore, it had to take place gradually, it had to take place slowly, behadroga. He says, when somebody is very, very sick, this is the same thing, kemoshal acholish in this rape. When you have somebody who is very sick, and he needs a refuah, sharofa yirape achas laachas madrega lamadrega. The doctor has to be careful that if he administers the patient the drug in too large a dosage, or if that far from that being a refuah, that could destroy the human, that could destroy the person, that could kill him. The refuah has to be bahadrug, has to be done gradually. So too, if there's a psychological problem, a person has certain difficulty, the refuah has to take place. Generally, the refuah, the healing, the cure has to take place in a way where the person can deal with it, can handle it. It takes place gradually. Therefore, Hashem in His divine wisdom decreed, Lishpok al Mitzrayim eser kaisais hatarela, to pour upon the Egyptians 10 cups of poison, bahadraga, in stages, v'chdei shebechol pam yimshach yimoshech me'oso nega ha'refuah v'ha'yeshua basic as elikar Yisrael. As far as destroying the Egyptians are concerned, that wasn't a problem for Hashem to snap his fingers. That would have been the end of the Egyptians. But that would have not been a Yeshua for the Jewish people. Because you have to look even at the Makkahs. Every single Makkah of the Egyptians was Hashem operating on the Jewish people. So had there been one explosive release of destructive energy that would have destroyed Egypt, the Jewish people would have, in Kiddush and holiness, would have been blinded. We wouldn't have been able to achieve anything. We wouldn't have understood. We wouldn't have learned. We wouldn't have been able to grow. We would not have been people who could have received the Torah, ultimately who have been able to receive the Torah. So therefore, the refuah, the Yeshua of the Jewish people with each Makkah was bahadrog, and not because Hashem didn't want to blow away the Egyptians with one patch. He could have done that. But the point here is that since Hashem needs to take gently remove the Jewish people from that tumah that they were stuck in, so with each clap that Hashem gives to the tumah, then the Jewish people are able to become removed, slowly, slowly removed from that filth. Ubevadai kshehigia harega oit pachas mikamemra, and then certainly he says when it reached that second. That second which that a human being is not even able to measure. There's a measure of time. When it comes to that specific second, that millisecond, that a human being can't even measure. That second that Hashem determined. Now you remember when Hashem was saying the time. Now you recall that the time was given in a way, and also kachatzos halayla. A human being can't measure exactly when is midnight. As Chazal say, and Rashi says, we don't know the exact second when this ends and this begins. We don't know that second. What the Rebbe is explaining here is that when Hashem in his wisdom knew that now that koach of Egypt had died, that koach was finished, that energy, that tumor that the Egyptians had in which they were able to hold the Jewish people, the second that was finished, wasn't it that it would schlep out and now we'd have another 50 years? The second that every Bechor, you can ask, listen, after Hashem that night, after he killed the firstborn. So why didn't he let us stick around a little bit and spend a little bit more time and take care of some of our things and maybe gloat a little bit and mock a little bit our enemies? And it didn't work that way. The second it was finished, it was time to go. Because the refuah now was fully administered, and now it was time to leave. That's what he says. Umeis kol b'chor b'chol eres Mitzrayim b'chol mokim shehu ha'kol keherif ayin ben kachatzos levichatzos. That time that we don't know how to measure, which is between where Moshe Rabbeinu says kachatzos, because a human being can't measure exactly midnight, and Hashem says bachatzos bachatzi alayla, which we don't know how to measure that. V'meila nimshach mizeh harofo liYisrael. That second, when the Jewish people were sitting that night and having their Seder in Egypt, that first amazing Pesach Mitzrayim, when we were sitting there having that Seder, that second, where all the Bechoros died, where the firstborn died, that second something changed inside the Jewish people forever. There was a refuah, there was a cure, that till this day, if you and I are able to have to experience any level of redemption, until the end of time, it happened that split second. He says, the tshuva of Hashem is keherif ayin, which is hard for us to imagine what it's going to be like when the day comes. That all the thousands of years of schlepping and of krechsing, that every single thing somehow, on some level, which we can't possibly see, because it looks to us just like misery, that somehow there's a refuah, there's a yeshua that's being brought to the Jewish people, bechlal, and to every Jewish person, bifrat. But when the time for redemption will arrive, it will be keherif ayin. It won't be that Hashem will say, a couple of months from now, next year at this time, it'll be keherif ayin mamish, in the wink of an eye. Everywhere where there'll be any Jew in the world, on that day when Mashiach comes, wherever there'll be a Jew anywhere in the world, that same second there'll be a refuah. Every individual Jew, it'll all happen. Whatever that Jew needs, he will receive that second of redemption. There will be a complete Yeshua on all three levels of what we need in this world, what we're asking for in this world. Children, health, life, and parnasa, mezonei, food. He calls Sholosh, listen, how beautifully explains this now. He calls Sholosh, Eilu Nimozim B'Sidra Zu. Now, this parsha's bow, as we said, is the parsha of redemption. So you might think that maybe we learned in the beginning of this Torah that awakens the koichos of redemption, just like when we study the korbanos, that awakens that koichos. So when all of the Jewish people as one people are trying to connect to Parshas Bo, the Shabbos of Parshas Bo, that awakens this redemption. So I might think that means some great spiritual, it's limited to some great spiritual awakening, to some great change that will take place when Mashiach comes in Ruchnias. So the Rebbe says it's not just that. It means even in this physical world, on those three most basic levels of life, which are bonai, children, chaye, health, and mezoine parnosa, we see that in this parasha, we see that these three domains of the most, of man's simple, mundane physical life, these three domains are referred to in the parasha by way of Yeshua. Listen to what he writes. Bonai, children, nirmas b'haskolas asidra. What does it say at the beginning of the parasha? Ulaman tisakr ba'iznei bincha uven bincha. It says at the beginning of parasha, bo'al paro, right? It says, ulaman tisakr, because you're going to tell this story and you're going to repeat it to your children and to your grandchildren. Right? You're going to have children and grandchildren. That's what the Baruch Shalom is saying at the beginning of the parasha. And you're going to tell over this ma'isa of what I did for you. You're going to tell it to your children and to your grandchildren. So the very beginning of the parasha of redemption, Hashem is telling us that they're going to be children and grandchildren to whom we're going to share this story, with whom we're going to share this story of redemption. This means that they're going to be children, descendants, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren are going to be Jews, as we've been talking about the last few weeks, the Indian of the Bris, who are going to be Jews forever and ever. Kiyadua, why? It's known that b'chol mokom shlosha doros, wherever it says in Tanakh, three generations, Chazal says this, that wherever it refers to three generations, hakavana b'kiyim la'olme'ad. Whenever it says three means that it will have an existence forever. Three means it's going to continue forever. The chayai, that's as far as children are concerned. So the beginning of the parasha, the Rabbi Shalom is telling us they're going to be children, they're going to be Jews, the Jewish people are going to live forever. That means that each and every one of us is going to have a Yeshua, this Shabbos, with our children, to have children, for our children, la'ol me'ad. The chayai, life, long life, health, nirmas be'etzim hamakis b'chayris. The Makis Bacharis means that it brought death to the Egyptians. Ukanal Shabakal Maka Rafili Yisrael. Basic Maka Gufa. That since we see that the Maka, that this plague of Bacharis brought death to Egypt, it means that the refuah is to bring health and long life to the Jewish people. Vakola Tisha Makis. Ho Yurak Negoim, the next page. And in general, chayai doesn't just mean a long life, it means health. And each of the ten makas was bringing destruction to Egypt and bringing health to the Jewish people. So then therefore, when it came to the final maka, the tenth maka, the tenth plague, she'inyono haya makas moves, which was the plague that brought death. The Mela, the result of that was, Nimshach Yisrael Chayim Tov V'Arichas Yom V'Shon. That brings to the Jewish people the ability to have long and healthy life. Umezoyna and food, Parnasa, Merumas V'Posik V'Yishalu Ish Me'es Re'ehu. That amazing Posik, that the Jewish people were told before they left Egypt to borrow all different things. To borrow all different possessions from their neighbors, the Egyptians. Klei kesev and klei zahav, vessels of silver and of gold. Which all the mefarshim are talking about. First of all, what do we need that for? When we're going into the desert, who wants to schlep? I mean, what are we going to do with the gold and silver? Not that we had sorrows in that gold and silver, the egel azahav. What do we need to schlep it? Everything was taken care of for us in the Midbar, in the desert. As far as food was concerned, the man, the bear, the anania covered. What are we going to go shopping? There's a mall over there. What are you taking? Kesef himself. So they say to take there to sell. So when he came to sell, you know, there were hidden treasures. For us, we didn't need to schlep. So Chazal say, all right, Hashem made a promise that we're going to Avraham Avinu. He said to Avraham Avinu that his children are going to be enslaved, and he fulfilled that promise. So certainly he should fulfill what promise? The promise of Yetzer B'chush Gadol, that we're going to leave with great wealth. Say that. But the question is like, what for? Why was it necessary for us to leave with great wealth? Now, pikabola, it means the neshamas, the souls that were taken out. But what does it mean? Simple pshat. Why we went and we took all these things and we schlepped all these things. And not only that. So you want to say the Baruch Shalom wanted to cheer us up, and these poor slaves, all of a sudden, each one opens his eyes, and this one has a gold watch. This one has a silver becher to make us to give us a little feeling of simcha. So Baruch Shalom didn't have to do it in such a way where we go and the Egyptians are to lend us this and the neighbors give it to us. No, we were never going to give it back. We weren't going to give it back. So why did Hashem do it in such a way? So Reb Leibler says, Hain shekola isher shib emes shayach achli Yisrael. He says, wealth, now this is something that the world is not ready to hear. He says, all of the wealth of this world, he says, truthfully belongs to Klal Yisrael. All of the wealth of this world belongs for whom the world was created. It was the Jewish people. Think of Germany. It was the Jewish people who brought wealth to Egypt. It was Yosef HaTzadik who revived the land. And all that all that that miserable, barren, desolate place ever had was because of the presence of Yosef HaTzadik, his children and grandchildren. Every single penny belonged to Yosef and his descendants. Every penny. Kadesh Yisbaru and the Tzaytas HaKadoshes, and the Egyptians temporarily had this. For the purpose that he's talking about something, I'll pivari, to clarify these sparks of holiness and so on, to bring it back out of the hands of Egypt. Vazbeg Yazman, therefore, when it came to the time to leave Egypt, Vazbeg Yazman, Chazra Kol HaYishalim Mekayma HaRoi, redemption means where even physical wealth returns to its rightful owner, without having to beg and grovel, and without having to get involved in legal complications that drag on for years and years. It'll be in 1 second. Whatever was taken from the Jewish people will be given back. That's what he says. Certainly, the Jews who were in the desert didn't need this. They didn't need to have gold and silver. They were taken care of. It wasn't for them, just like everything else that happened in the story of our redemption. It was so that in the future, the Jewish people would be able to get back what was coming to them. They'd be able to get back those things that were stolen, that were taken. And we can say that these three, children, health, and parnasa, in the first parak in Brachos and Pesachim, the pasuk vayinatzlu es Mitzrayim. It's a very mysterious pasuk. The pasuk says vayinatzlu es Mitzrayim. It says in the parasha when we left, it says we emptied out Egypt. We emptied them out. So there's a difference of opinion in Chazal. What does that mean? What were they emptied out? What did we take from them? So it says in the Gemara, Chad Omar Sha'asa'uha Kimetzula Sha'in Badagin. One opinion says that we emptied them out so completely, like a net, like a fisherman's net, that Sha'in Badagim, that every single fish was taken. There wasn't a thing that was left to the Egyptians. That's what one opinion says. The Chadomer Kimetzul Shein Badogan, and the other says it was like some sort of a net to gather the wheat or the crop, and left nothing to the Egyptians. So the question is, what kind of a machlokas is it? It was like fish, it was like wheat. Well, who cares? What's the difference? That the Chazal are arguing, how did we empty out the Egyptians? Was it like taking all the fish, or was it like taking all the grain? What does that mean? So listen how beautiful Reb Leibowitz says like this. So he says, Ve'elu divilukim chayim, of these and those are the words of the living God. Now, we can understand this based upon what we learned before. Shemikol negev shalahem, hayi bezeh gufa hirape li Yisrael. That every single makkah, every single plague, brought refuah to the Jewish people, Yeshua. Memila, therefore. Kishenish aru heim kimitsula shein badogim. When every single fish was taken from Egypt. Now, whoever's familiar with our traditions and our Torah, you know that fish are a symbol of what? Of kindlech, of children. V'yidgul arayv, the caravars. And that's the bracha that we give, to multiply like fish. So therefore, the Rebbe says, Egypt was left like a place without any fish. This koach, therefore, since that was the makkah of the Egyptians, the inability to reproduce, to give birth. So this koach, then, this potential, this strength, this energy, became part of our lives. Of what? Haromez lebonai ulechayai. Bonai, this is hinting to the two, to children and to long life. Bonai yedua k'may markosu v'yidgu l'rov, right, that we will multiply like fish. V'gam chai, what about life, long life and health? Al pisha shomanu mi'admor mi'izbitze. I heard from the Rebbe from Izbitze, from his Rebbe. Kal zeh anu oichlem dogim Shabbos kodesh b'rishayin. He heard from the Izbitze Why is it that the first thing we eat when we come to the Shabbos table is we eat fish? Why is it that we eat fish right away? Kidogim roimez l'chaim. The Ishbitz is taught because fish means that the 6 days of the week that are called the 6 days that come from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the 6 days of misery, the 6 days of death are now over. And Shabbos is the time of life, of chiyus. It's when you know who you really are. It's when you're really alive. Therefore, the first thing we eat a fish. Now, why do fish symbolize life? Ke'chai harishon shenivra ba'olam haya min dogim. He says a gevaldige thing. The first living creature, the first chai, not plant, the first chai in the world, excuse me, the first chai in the world was dogim, fish. The first life form above in that koach of being alive, meaning as opposed to plants, which of course are alive, a level of life. We're talking about chai, that first koach of chai. So he says, Kechai rishon shenivra ba'olam hayah min dogim. Ubevadei nimshech mizeh yeshua l'kol nefesh miyisrael anitzrich liyeshua l'hoilid banim. So from this we have the koach for the Jewish people to have children, to have healthy children. That who needs a Yeshua l'hoilid banim, to have children, v'gam shekol habanim shel Yisrael, and also that all of the children of the Jewish people yu chayim v'kayamim, we're waiting for redemption, waiting for gula, that this should be, that all the Jewish children should be healthy, should be alive. V'lo yishlut behem shum ayin hara chas v'shalom, and no evil eye shall fall upon any Jewish child, because you know that the fish also symbolize being protected from the evil eye. Kama amorim zal, ma'adogim hamayim mechasim alayim, just like the fish are covered by the ocean, and no evil eye can fall upon them, ayin ayin hara shall let this behem achulu, so too, the bracha v'yid gula roiv v'kerev ha'aretz, the bracha of Yosef's children, of the one who was above the ayin hara, alei ayin, olei ayin, the bracha of the children of Yosef HaTzadik is that they should be hidden from all harm. They should be hidden from the evil eye. Whatever that means, that koach of the ayin hara, which is not the time to discuss. And what's also interesting is that even during the flood, the fish did not die. Right. Adarabba, they went to Eretz Achai. They all gathered in the land of life, which is Eretz Yisrael. The fish would not hurt. The fish would not hurt. In other words, the fish have that koach. Not only are they not destroyed by a mabul, but for them, it's a mechayim. For them, it's a gevaldige parnasa, a mabul. They wouldn't mind every single day should be a mabul. For them, it's a mechayim. So there is such a thing that the Jewish people are somehow able to swim through the whole thing. Bnei chai are able to live on and on, no matter what. And that's what it means that Egypt was left without fish. We took it. We took that koach with us. We know that even though it says that the children of Yosef are protected from the evil eye, it doesn't only mean Yosef's, because most of us now are not biologically descended from Yosef. But we know the Chazal tells it doesn't mean only Yosef's physical, biological children. It means all those who follow the ways of Yosef HaTzadik. We know, because the Gemara says that if somebody comes into a town and he is a stranger there and he's afraid of the Ayin Hara, he should say, Anam Mizara de Yosef Kasina, I am a descendant of Yosef HaTzadik, Shalta Ba'in Abisha, over whom the Ayin Hara had no control. So what do you mean, Anam Mizara de Yosef Kasina? What do you mean, you're a descendant of Yosef HaTzadik? Who said? A Kain or a Levi? I mean, and Bechlal, who are the descendants? Those are the lost tribes. So we're descendants of Yosef HaTzadik. It means every single Jew are called. That's why the Jewish people in Tanakh are called She'eris Yosef, the remnant of Yosef. Where it says in Pasuk, Noheg Ketzon Yosef. Hashem takes care of us like the sheep of Yosef. The entire Jewish people are called the children of Yosef. Like Zerakol HaShvatim. Ki kulam nechlolim b'birchaseyim zebezeh. So the label says that even though each bracha of Yaakov Avinu was given to an individual tribe, but in truth all of the brachas connect the Jewish people one to the other. Uka Amram Zal, in the Medrash Tanchuma, the Perish Ish Asher Kibirchoso Berech Oysom. Chazal say in the Medrash Tanchuma, that's what it means in the Pasuk, Ish Asher Kibirchoso Berech Oysom. That Yaakov Avinu, he gave a bracha to each Shevet, he gave a bracha, but to each one he gave a bracha, In what way? Kibachose berich oisam. The bracha that he gave to each one, he also meant for everybody. Obviously, though, the one that got the bracha was the one that had that greatest koach and would be able to in the most powerful way carry it out in the world. But it says in Pasuk, Isha Asher kibachose berich oisam. That all of the Shvatim received on some level all of the brachas. Therefore, all of us are the children of Yosef. Now, what about the second opinion of the Gemara that says they're not arguing? Both these and those are the words of the living God. So the second thing the Gemara says, that we emptied out of Egypt like what? Like grain. Like all the Dagon. So now we understand that's talking about what? Mizoine is talking about Parnasa, right? The fish is talking about Bona and Chaya. The fish is talking about children and life. And emptying out the grain of Egypt means, and that's what he says, V'asu kimetzud v'sha'in ba'dogon, roimez al mizayne revichli Yisrael. This is hinting to the Jewish people having parnasa, all that was taken from us, being brought back, being given back to us. But it's not pshat that Hashem is going to miraculously take it from them. That the Baruch Shalom is going to have that the Jewish people, and maybe this is a little bit of what's starting now. Maybe we're just getting a taste of this, but it's hurting because it's b'derech hateva, so it still comes with this yoinus, with humiliation. But the beginning now that in the last few years that we're starting to get a little bit of an inkling of what was taken from the Jewish people by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. Even in this last part of the Golus, that we're beginning to say, give it back. Not that Hashem's going to give all of a sudden something miraculous is going to happen, and the Jews are going to walk into the back and have millions of dollars. That's not the Seder of redemption. In Mitzrayim, what happened was that the Jews went to the Egyptians and said, give it to us. And that's what's happening now also on some Madrega. That on some level, the Jews are asking it back from the Egyptians, from the Mitzrayim, from the Germans. He says, Ki kishaheimen nishoru reikam b'limozen u'michya, when the Egyptians were left empty, without food, without any sustenance, this was able to draw into the life of the Jewish people this refuah of what of parnasa, lashpilaham shefa mezayne, to bring us great parnasa, mezayne revicha uparnasa v'hatzlocha v'oysher rav ad bli dai, that we should have oysher rav without end. Amen ken yirotzen. So that's why I've been telling you all along, and you see this each time. That Reb Leibel is not just teaching, every single Torah is what he's davening up the Indian. Every single Torah Reb Leibel is a tefillah. So this parsha is a very great opportunity to daven for geula for the Jewish people, redemption for each individual from his spiritual distress, but on the simplest level, on the level of bonai, chayim mizoinai, that each of us should be able to have that chiyas of what l'man tesapir ba'iznei bincha uven bincha, children and grandchildren, and to be able to have chayit, to live long and healthy lives. Each makkah, it says, kol machlash asanti mitzrayim le'osim alecha. Right? Next parasha. No, that's that mishpatim, right? Kol machlash asanti mitzrayim le'osim alecha, ki ani Hashem rofecha. All the sickness, all the disease that I placed upon Egypt, I will not place upon you, because I am Hashem who heals you. That's the Vilna Gaon's pshat, by the way, it's famous in the Haggadah. You know, in the Haggadah, when there's a machlokis in the Haggadah, the Tanoim, he brings down the machlokis. How many makis did the Egyptians go through? And sub-makis, right? How many plagues did the Egyptians suffer? All the different opinions there. So, the Vilna Gaon asked, why is it that the Baal Haggadah, why is it that the Tanoim are seeking to reveal that there were more makis in Egypt? That's an afkimah. We got out and finished. Why do they have to show there were more makis? So the Gaon said, because since it says in Pasuk, kol machlash asanti mitzrayim le'osim alecha, any disease that the Egyptians had, you're not going to have. Therefore, the Chacham are trying to find more diseases that the Egyptians had, because with each additional disease that they had, we're not going to have. The Kamachlis is something that's simply also Malacha. Therefore, we have this parish an opportunity to daven for refuah for people that we know, for all Jews, that there should be a refuah for each one of the Makis in that way of Chayy and Mizoinei, and we understand, of course, Parnasa, that the Jewish people, the time is coming where we're going to have more and more of a koyach to get back what was taken from us. Therefore, certainly it's a good time to daven that we should be able to get back. And all this that now, all of this that's been on the table for the last few years of what happened to our wealth. It's not just by the Germans, the Swiss, by the finest of the finest, right? What happened to the parnos of Klal Yisrael? That it's a time to have a tefillah that every single penny should be restored to Klal Yisrael. That we should have oishiv kovet. That there shouldn't be any Jews who chalila are wanting. That everybody should have what he needs. And Mr. Shom, we should be zayich not only to read parshas both together, but we should be able to read the parsha of the final redemption, as it says in the pasuk, "Yemetzeschem Eretz Yisrael." The way that I took you out of Egypt, I ran in the flows. I will show you once again great wonders with the coming of Mashiach. Amen.